So the reading is Matthew 21, 18 to 22. When Jesus got up the next morning, he was hungry. He started out for the city, and along the way he saw a fig tree. But when he came to it, he found only leaves and no figs. So he told the tree, "You will never again grow any fruit." Right then, the fig tree dried up. The disciples were shocked when they saw how quickly the tree had dried up. But Jesus said to them, "If you have faith and don't doubt, I promise that you can do what I did to this tree, and you will be able to do even more. You can tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea, and it will. If you have faith when you pray, you will be given whatever you ask for." I'll just pray for Deb as she comes up. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. Lord, thank you for your word, Lord. And we pray for Debbie as she comes to speak to us, Lord, that you will speak through her, Lord, that your words will be her words, Lord, and that you will minister to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, children, I need your help with this first bit, and in fact I need Joe's help a little bit in a minute, so I want you to bring up the title slide for the notices for me. And children, if you can come and sit on this mat here, down here, you can help me out with something. So as many as possible, in fact maybe I'll just move to, yep, you're here, you're in the right place. Just put the title slide for now. Oh, thanks Danielle, thank you. Brilliant. So who can tell me, it's a bit high this, so I can't see any of you over it. There we go. Who of you guys can tell me, the big ones, you can answer this in your heads as well, but don't call out, okay? Who here can tell me, what is a disciple? Give me a, what's a disciple, Danielle? Okay. Riri? Brilliant, a follower of Jesus, Jesus' follower, yeah. A close friend of Jesus, brilliant. Any other ideas, yeah? A brother, yeah, Jesus did call his disciples his brothers and his sisters, yes? Brilliant, people who trust in him. These are all really, really good answers about what is a disciple. But I've got another good definition. One good definition of a disciple that I want all of you here to remember this afternoon is someone who wants to be more like Jesus. Anyone want to be more like Jesus in this room? Yeah, we've got a few disciples here then, not on that table. There we go. Someone who wants to be more like Jesus. And so, since Jesus tells us all to go and make disciples, didn't he? Does anyone remember Jesus saying that? Go and make disciples. I thought I would have a go at making a disciple today. So I'm going to ask Ethan to come along. I'm going to somehow, give him a round of applause, please. I'm going to somehow make Ethan into a disciple. Do you want to be a disciple, Ethan?
Yes.
Brilliant. So that means you want to be more like Jesus?
Yes.
Brilliant. Good answers. Good answers. So what I did was I trawled the internet and I found this picture. This is Jesus. Yeah, nice picture, huh? I mean, I know it's not actually a photo, but I think it probably looks at least a little bit like Jesus might have looked when he was walking on the earth. So our job, if I'm going to make Ethan into a disciple, I've got to make him look as much like this picture as possible, right? So first of all, I guess what we need is a sort of a kind of whitish, kind of creamy robe. So, you know, I thought I'd bring this. Could you just put that on, please? And I've got a nice belt for it as well. Yes, put it on, please. Any time today. Here we go. Let's help you out. There we go. Brilliant. Okay, that's definitely already looking a bit more like the picture. So we've got to make him look as much. Maybe you need the rope around you just to hold it together so we can't see your jeans and stuff like that. Now, what else do you notice about his feet? So you've got shoes, some sandals. Yeah, take your shoes and socks off because I brought some very authentic Middle Eastern sandals from a couple of millennia ago. Birkenstocks. Yeah, there we go. Ooh, look. Look at those nice dirty feet. I think that's very authentic as well, because look, he's walking in mud there. So Ethan's got the perfect feet for this. There we go. If you could just put the sandals on your feet. Now, what else is wrong? How can we make him look like this picture? Yeah, he does need a beard, doesn't he? And maybe some different hair. So here's some different hair. Is that a bit more Jesus-like, isn't it? Can you just put that on for me? I did say that you were going to dress up, didn't I? That's it. Oh, that's very good. Very good. Just pat it down a little. And of course, no Jesus costume would be complete without a little beard. So if you could just put the beard on, it sort of goes round your hair. Probably should put the hair on second, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's very authentic, isn't it? That's right. There's gasps of surprise going on here, okay? It's pretty good. Look at the picture. Now, boys and girls, what does he need to do just to look a bit more like that picture? The stance isn't right. What's he got to do? Put a jumper on. Yeah, oh, like an overcoat. Yeah, I haven't got one of those. But maybe he could stand a bit like the picture. Can you just try that for me? Try and put your arms. What do you think, Daniil? And the facial expression. Try not to look quite so much. Take the watch off. Try to look a bit more like you're rejoicing. What do we think? What do you think? Yeah, go on. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of details, aren't there, that aren't quite right. But generally, it's not a bad attempt. Give him a round of applause. You can take those things off. You can put them back in there for me. Thank you. Yeah, well done, Ethan, well done. Well, you know, I thought that was a pretty good experiment. Did I make a disciple? No.
For it to be a disciple, it needs to be a follower of Jesus.
A follower of Jesus. But we said that a good definition was someone who wants to be more like Jesus. And Ethan looked more like Jesus, didn't he? What was the problem? Yeah?
He wasn't acting like he wanted to be more like Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so he changed some things on the outside, but he wasn't then actually acting like Jesus, which is what Connie said. He wasn't changing on the inside. So he did a few things on the outside to be more like Jesus, didn't he? But like Ava said, and like Connie said, it's not just about being like Jesus on the outside. It's about what's happening on the inside. That's what a real disciple is. And in this story that we heard read just now, that is the problem with the fig tree. Can anyone remember from the story what Jesus did to that fig tree? What did he do? Yeah, he didn't burn it, but he spoke to it and it withered, it died. Yeah, he spoke to it and he said, "No one is ever going to eat fruit from you again." Why did Jesus do that to that poor little fig tree? Anyone know? Yeah.
Angry that it wasn't producing any fruit.
Brilliant. You were really listening to the passage. Yeah, because Jesus wasn't happy with the fig tree in the story because it wasn't producing any real fruit. Now, the fig trees, hi Joe, the fig trees around on our tables today have got lots of leaves on them. And in fact, the leaves are covering up all sorts of bad things that we stuck on there earlier, aren't they? But this fig tree in Jesus' story was exactly the same. It was really leafy. And Jesus thought to himself, if I just look through the leaves, then I'll be able to find some fruit, some figs to eat, because it said Jesus was hungry. But when he looked underneath the leaves, when he peeled back the outside layer, he didn't find the real thing underneath. He didn't find real figs. He just found a lot of leaves. But some people think that Jesus is a little bit mean or a bit unreasonable to the fig tree. Anyone ever thought that? Because especially in Mark's gospel, not in the version we read today from Matthew, but in Mark's gospel, do you know that it says that it wasn't even the season for figs? So when Jesus was looking in that tree and wanting to find some fruit there, it wasn't the season for figs. He shouldn't have been expecting to see any fruit there because the figs weren't meant to come out yet. So some people think like Jesus was being a bit unreasonable, but Jesus was trying to use this tree as like a kind of illustration for our lives. He was teaching his disciples two really important things. Number one, he was saying, Jesus is hungry to see fruit from us. Did you know that today, grown-ups and children, that Jesus is hungry? He really wants to find fruit in your life. We're going to think what that fruit might be in a minute. But bearing good fruit means living lives that really look more like Jesus, not just on the outside because we wear robes and sandals, but lives that on the inside look like Jesus. Lives that can shine out his goodness and bring other people to know him. I tell you what, you can bring out the stickers if you like. People can do some sticking while I'm talking. And the second thing that Jesus wanted his disciples to know, and this is the important thing I want to think about today for a few minutes, is there may be things in our lives, big people and little people, that need to wither and die away if we're going to be fruitful. Have you ever considered that before? There might be a fig tree or two in our lives that need to die. There might be a mountain or two that needs to be shifted out of the way. And when Jesus comes towards our lives and he's looking for some fruit, is he also going to find some things that look okay on the outside, but actually need shifting? Now, first of all, probably lots of you know that in this passage, Jesus is immediately applying it to the priests and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and the important people who worked in the temple. And he was saying to his disciples, I haven't found much fruit in that temple system. These are all people who are meant to be religious types. If you wanted to find religious people in Jesus' day, you go to the temple. And he was like, well, these are people who are supposed to be following God, supposed to be looking like him, supposed to be looking to do his commands, but he wasn't finding much fruit in their attitudes and in their practices and in their worship. And Jesus was prophesying over that temple system and all the people who worked in it. And he was saying, you know what? One day this temple system, one day not too far from now, this whole thing is going to crumble and die and wither away. It won't even be here anymore. He was warning those people, you've got to bear fruit. You've got to look like God wants you to look. You've got to let your life be producing stuff that I'm proud of and that I'm looking for from my people, because otherwise it's not going to be long before that stuff dies away. And did you know that it was only a few years later, probably about 40 years later, in AD 70, the Romans destroyed that whole temple. That whole system was torn down in Jerusalem. And to this day, the Jews have never yet been able to rebuild that temple system. When Jesus prophesied and saw that fig tree wither, he was absolutely right. It was fulfilled as that temple system fell down. So yeah, Jesus was applying his words to those situations of his day, but he was also talking to us. And he was also challenging people like you and me. He was saying, it isn't good enough to just look like a Christian on the outside. It isn't good enough to just dress up in a way that makes you look a little bit Jesus-like. You know, and Ethan looked a little bit Jesus-like. But it's not good enough if we're not really bearing any fruit, if we're not becoming more like Jesus from the inside out. It's no good just dressing up the right way, putting on the right attitudes, putting on the right stance. It's no good just being a nice-ish kind of person and coming to church and saying a few prayers and putting your hands in the air in the worship or waving a banner and looking really, really spiritual. It's no good doing all of that stuff. They might be good things. They might look a bit leafy, like a leafy fig tree, but if underneath it all there's no actual fruit, then Jesus is going to say, there's some things that need to be torn away here. There's some things that need to wither and be dried up and be removed. Because you see, that leafy fig tree was covering up, wasn't it? Just like we did in our starter activity. It was covering up for a lack of fruitfulness. And fig trees are good cover-up leaves, actually. Adam and Eve used them in the Garden of Eden, we're told, to cover up their nakedness when they felt ashamed after they'd sinned, after they'd disobeyed God and gone off to do their own thing. They wanted to kind of make themselves look a bit more respectable, so they put their leaves all over themselves. I think we can do the same sometimes, can't we? Got any shame in your life? Any things you're ashamed of? Got any bits that, like we tried to do at the beginning, you'd really rather cover up? You wouldn't want your Christian friends to see? Got any things that, dark thoughts, that you wouldn't really want to be exposed to everybody else's scrutiny? You're not the only one. But the thing is, covering it up with a lot of leafiness isn't the answer. Jesus wants to come and deal with our sin and shame. Actually, in the worship, I kept being reminded of that brilliant song. I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin, I believe. My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name, I believe. I just felt the Lord was saying that. He wants us to have that kind of confidence that we can say it. The first words are, I know he rescued my soul. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in his name. He doesn't want us to be trying to leaf it up. He wants us to say, I'm free. My soul has been cleaned out. I've received forgiveness. That dark stuff in me has been cleansed away. He's looking for people who are willing to come and let him get to work in us and do that. So whatever the reasons and whatever the ways that we try to present a good exterior, none of it does any good when Jesus comes to us hungry and looking for fruit. And it's not that he's going to curse us and make us wither. That's not the point of this story. But he will get rid of the things that need to die. The things that try to cover up for the sin and shame in us instead of dealing with it. And at times we will find in our Christian lives that he wants to strip us back and take some stuff off us. Even stuff we thought looked quite good. He might want to remove that at times. I was thinking about a lady a few years ago, a long time ago now, not from this congregation, but when I worked in another one. And she was one of those people who, whenever it was kind of time at the end of a meeting to respond to what the preacher had been saying, to respond to the word, or to come and receive prayer, or to turn into groups and pray together with somebody else, or something like that, she was the person who always immediately found something else to do. I wonder if anybody else identifies with that. But, you know, there was always something to do. Always she had to run out to the kitchen to help start making the drinks for the end of the meeting. Or always she had to go and sort out a problem with the window over here. Or there was someone over there who needed some help and she would go alongside and busy herself with that. And it was really good. In fact, like, we thought she was like one of the most helpful and servant-hearted people in the whole congregation. And it was true. We were really glad that she was busying herself with those kinds of things all the time. But after a while, when I was praying for her one time, I realized, you know, actually a lot of this stuff, it's a diversion, it's a distraction from the moment when Jesus is wanting to kind of put his finger on something and really get to the heart of things. And we talked together and we prayed together, and she said, yeah, there are some things that I actually just don't really want to hear Jesus say to me because I'm not ready to deal with them yet. And in the end, we encouraged her, those of us who were praying with her, we said, look, I think we should kind of, you know, forbid you from doing any serving tasks in the congregation for a whole month, you know, something like that, which is crazy because there's always a lot to do, isn't there? We all know this. But I was like, I think you need to kind of put that aside, because in a way it's your leafiness. It's your way of kind of hiding from the fact that Jesus wants to do something. It's not true for everybody, but it was for her. And she recognized that she was hiding behind that stuff. Looking like a really servant-hearted person made her feel like her Christian life was going okay. underneath, she knew it really wasn't. There was stuff that she needed to let him deal with and challenge and transform and change. But we never really have to get there if I just keep doing the servant-hearted looking thing. But in the end, she did stop doing those things, certainly for a while. She found it so hard at first, but after a while, she chose to engage. Every time there was a prayer time, every time there was a call to the front for prayer, every time there was an opportunity to ask for prayer from someone, she would take it. And things started to really shift and change. And the Lord did a really beautiful work in her life. So if we want to be more like Jesus, we might have to let him strip back some of the leafy stuff and remove some things that just need to die away so that fruit can come forward. Things that are covering up the unfruitfulness that need to go. A final thing I want to say before we respond together is that just want to mention about this amazing promise that Jesus makes at the end to his disciples. He says to his disciples, "You guys can speak to fig trees and wither them. And you can speak to mountains and see them shift and throw themselves into the sea." And that was a promise that Jesus was making to his disciples about, I believe, prophetic prayer and prophetic praying. Not just for ourselves, but actually for other people. Prophetic praying for other people. And when we see deadness in our brother's life, in our sister's life, in someone whom we love and pray for and care for in the church, when we see some deadness, when we see some unfruitfulness, when we see some stuff that we know, you know, that person, that thing really needs to shift in their life. When we see it, Jesus was saying, as my followers, as my disciples, you can start to pray with authority and see some stuff, strongholds of the enemy in people's lives wither away, mountains, immovable things you never thought would change in that person's life, things you thought were completely unshiftable. You can speak to those obstacles that stop them going forward in their faith, and you can throw them into the sea in prayer. And I'm not talking about going up to somebody and cursing fig trees in them. In person. No, you don't have to do this in person. You can do this with your Father in heaven in the secret place, in the place where these disciples knew, the place of intimacy with Jesus. That's where he's teaching them about this stuff, not with the crowds, on their own. Look, guys, I'm equipping you with prophetic, powerful prayers that when you see dead fig trees, you can get rid of them and uproot them. That when you see massive mountains that are stopping God's people accomplishing and achieving all that they're meant to, you speak to them in Jesus' name and you throw them into the sea, and you find that people are finding breakthrough. You find that bondages are being broken off people. You find that shame that has clouded people for years and years and years is suddenly lifted and removed and washed away. You find these things are happening because of your prayers. Jesus was commissioning those guys to pray that way for others. And if we're his disciples, he's commissioning you to pray that way for other people. To not just get so stuck and hung up on the things you need to pray for in your own life. Yeah, let's pray for those things. But let's start to look around the body of Christ and say, you know what, so-and-so needs a breakthrough. So-and-so needs a mountain shifting. So-and-so's got a problem with health that just is not going away. So-and-so's got something that's holding them back from loving Jesus with their whole hearts. Let's pray it out the way. Let's speak into it. Let's prophesy as Jesus was commissioning and commanding these guys. It's called pastoring through prayer, if you want to use Roger's terminology. That's how Jesus did it. Remember how he said to Peter when he was going to deny him, he said, "Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times, but don't worry, I've prayed for you. I've dealt with this one in prayer already. So yeah, you're going to make some mistakes, but you're going to come back. I've cleared the way so that you can come back, so you can come in, back into presence and back into being used by me and being fruitful again with your life." So you know, this moving mountains thing, final word, it's not just a shallow exhortation like some people take it and apply it. You know, that we pray for a private jet and if we've got enough faith, it will drop out of the air and materialize in front of us. Please don't treat the word of God that way. Jesus is saying something much more profound, much more deeply profound. He's teaching his followers how to get spiritual work done in the world around them. He wants us to be people who work with him to get spiritual work done, to shift mountains, to see stuff that needs to die, die, to see breakthroughs, breakthrough. Let's allow him to teach us how to speak in the same way with the power of the Holy Spirit in the name and the authority of Jesus, so that more and more people can rush and fulfill that calling to look more like Jesus, not just on the outside, but on the inside too. Amen? So we're good.